Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello, this is episode 551 of the Overseas Connection on November the 3rd, 2019. I am Robin Tate. I'm your host tonight. It's at Bongo the Sian. I'm in Ballymena, and that's in Northern Ireland. And tonight I'm joined by a wonderful hero who needs an extra bonus point for getting his tweaky headphones back on again, Mark Wright. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Robin.
And just to let you know, this is going to be a quick show tonight. We are on the back end of Extra Life 2019. Mark has appeared on the show, even though he's been up for 24 hours, has had a couple of hours kip, so and the rest of the guys are recovering. So it's that day. So we are going to have a quick show tonight, and thank you very, very much, Mark, for coming on the show tonight.
You're welcome. You just have to excuse the bags under the eyes.
Okay, so we go out live as we are right now, and we do this at right about 9 o'clock every night on a Sunday in the UK, 1 p.m. in the west coast of America, 4 p.m. in the east, and 3 p.m. central time. Of course, just at this moment in time with the clocks back forward and all that, it's all mixed up. We go out on twitch.tv/OC podcast and Mixer and on YouTube. And yeah, it's a good old place where we are all buddies. We're all friends. A lot of us have now met up, the core group of us, and the friendships just grow and grow. Just a little shout out again. I know we did shout out Pete last week, but it was his 40th birthday on Friday. So just a little extra mention to Pete. Happy birthday to you. But the most important birthday this week comes to Jasper, Mark's dog.
Yeah, my little doggy. He's 6 years old today. 6 years old, man. It's gone so quick.
Yes.
My little fluff ball.
I can't believe it's 6 years since you've had that dog. And Pete has had a wonderful prize present from his family, I believe. Absolutely fantastic present. Well, I think he did get his, the Oculus thing?
He got the Oculus Quest, the wireless one, like what Stu has.
And he's going to York.
And he's been whisked away for a nice weekend with his lovely lady girl. Yeah.
Is it York or New York?
I don't know where he's gone. All he put was it was in the middle of nowhere, and he sent some photographs of a room, and it looked all nice and all fairy lights around the bed and everything.
Happy birthday to you, Pete. Okay. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, hang on.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
All right. Mark has moved into his man cave, and we're going to be talking about that in just a second.
Story time. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hooray, story time. With you today.
What were you just saying before I went live? I can't get used to the Mac being on the right hand side. I'm so used to using my left hand to do the sound effects. I'll get used to it.
So to explain, if you can't notice, have you ever watched Mark on the show? He was like Harry Potter in the corner of the room with so much kit there in the living room, and you had always seen his good lady wife over the back shoulder of the camera, and she'd be there.
And she had to lower the TV, and she wasn't happy about that. She used, especially coming up to Christmas time, because all her favourite programmes were on, and Dancing on Ice, it was always on when we had the podcast, and she had to lower the sound, and she wasn't very happy. So yeah, I've got all this room.
So you've bit the bullet and you've moved to a new room now.
Yeah.
And did the reality hit home about how many? Well, I've seen the box of cables.
Yeah.
How much stuff it takes to get all this set up again?
Okay, unbelievable. Yeah. Just so many wires. But I got it done in a day. So I'm pretty impressed. I managed to wangle Friday off work. I had a bit of an annual leave left over, so I took Friday off. Because I completely forgot about Extra Life, so I thought, I'll better move everything in Saturday, and then I'll be ready for the podcast Sunday. And then people were saying, well, you've got Extra Life on Saturday. Oh, shit. So, yeah, so got it all done.
And your internet died as well. Oh, there was a panic.
Oh, Friday, this, yeah.
Usual Mark had broke everything again.
yeah, it went off both the TV and the internet. That's why I knew it wasn't something I'd done, because the TV went off as well, because we use Virgin Media. So everything went off Friday tea time. Didn't come back on well about 9 o'clock Friday night. I had an engineer booked to come Saturday morning, but luckily I cancelled him because it all came back on. So yeah, bit of a panic situation. Jenny was saying, what have you done, what have you broke?
Oh well, like having your own space is, it's great. Having a little man cave is fantastic. I love it out here. So my man cave has changed a little bit. You can see these, I don't know if you've got me cut all down.
Oh, you got your exercise equipment up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So for the winter, I've got a cross trainer and a new treadmill here and a bike. It's there somewhere. Outside of this room, there's another big room, but it's a bit colder out there. There's radiator heating in here. Yeah. We're outside. There's not really. And during the winter, it gets a bit sharp. So I wanted these here in here just for the winter.
Yeah.
And I haven't been feeling great the last couple of weeks. And yesterday and today, just started to feel like myself again. And this morning, I went and done my first ever on a cross trainer, my first ever session there, and on the treadmill as well. And it's amazing from my last one how the technology has moved on.
Yeah.
Where the treadmill is a Nordic Track thing, a really good boil, and the really really good ones have a big built-in screen on them now, Mark.
Yeah.
Like an iPad screen. Now there's a lot of controls on this, but there's not a screen. But what you do is you log into their app. It connects through Bluetooth to the treadmill.
All right.
And there's a whole series of runs you can do, and it's like running through I ran through I think it was Cornwall somewhere today.
Yeah.
A couple of miles through there, and the iPad connects to the thing. You're running along the lanes, and It moves as the lane, as you go up a hill.
Is it like Street View type thing?
Yeah, it's like Street View, but it's like somebody's done a video. But as you go up the incline in the video, the treadmill automatically rises and falls.
Right.
As well.
Oh, so right. You're going up a hill. Right. Yeah,
yeah. So, and it just makes it quite interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's cool. That's good. That's good for me.
You seem in a different position, because your pool table's usually at a different angle, isn't it?
No, it hasn't moved. It's the same.
I thought, no, is your computer not moved, no?
No, maybe just where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Keep it moving. Another great book that I've came across on Audible is called The Commune. Again, the thing that attracts me a lot to these things is that narrator guy, R.C. Bray. And where a lot of this stuff that we've listened to has been apocalypse, the world has ended somehow or another, and the zombies are coming and they eat your brains. This is another one of those, but there's no zombies. So, I'm well into the book, but no zombies have came along. A big massive virus came. I don't know, our antibiotics were too bad or whatever, but it wiped out the majority, 99% of the world's population. Only a few people were immune, and it's about this group of people traveling from in one part of America up to Wyoming. They sort of fall in with each other. The idea is to go up and try and find some land up there that one of them owned and start up a commune again. And it's about their stories and about the bad people are not the zombies, the bad people are people.
Right.
So, the other people trying to steal their stuff or take their stuff away, and everybody's suspicious of it. So, yeah, so it's a very, very good book. It's called The Commune. If you search for R.C. Bray, you'll see him there.
Yeah. You like your R.C. Bray stuff, don't you?
Well, he's only the narrator. He's not the writer, but just he emotes.
Is he good at his job?
He puts the voice and he puts emotion into the characters, and it's really, really easy to listen to.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Okay. The thing that we want to talk about is Extra Life. Yeah. So Extra Life is just finished. What Extra Life is, if you don't know, it's playing video games for 24 hours to raise money for sick kids or whatever charity you really want. It's sort of designated as this time. And This year, the VG Hub team was a bit tighter. We had Kim, Greg was there, Mark, Luis Raimondo was there, and of course the Willowitz family. But there's lots more from our the VG Hub community, like Hardy, Dan, and guys like that were doing this as well. And my son Joshua, with his crew, they were at it too. Some of the guys were raising money for Extra Life and the Miracle Network Hospitals over in America. Mark was raising his for his charity, the Martin House Hospice.
Yep.
And Joshua was doing for a kids' charity out in the States as well. The VG Hub, I mean, in total, there is over $3,500. 2-6 for there. Mark was over $200. Joshua was over $770. It's just fantastic. And, I mean, really, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, usually about 10 of us or more.
There's normally a lot more, yeah. A lot of people I've had to miss this year. I know Lewis is doing his actual marathon on the 21st of November. He can't do it on the day. The Chin brothers are doing theirs in a very near future date.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's still more to come in. But, yeah, so far the money's just unbelievable. Fantastic. Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, the day was slightly marred for the Extra Life guys. And there's a statement that's came out from them. Some dickheads, and that's all I can say, absolute dickheads. There was a DDoS attack on the Extra Life website, and this website was down for the majority of the day. And imagine, you know, this is a charity that raises, was 30 million, something crazy like that there last year, $30 million for sick children, and some smart ass little hacker twats thought it was funny to bring the website down. It's just disgusting. I'll read this little statement out from Extra Life. To our amazing Extra Life community, we are so blown away by the inspiring ways the Extra Life community is standing up in support of sick and injured kids across North America. It's no secret that you're all the best dang gaming community to exist on planet Earth. We know it's frustrating that the Extra Life website has been experiencing intermittent issues throughout the day. The truth of the matter is that some people are trying to use a DDoS attack to spoil game day, but we're not going to let them do that. For that, we are so sorry. You've worked hard year-round to make this another record-breaking year for the kids treated at Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, and we will fight back with an overwhelming avalanche of positivity and patience to still make that a reality. The site will come back up, so please encourage your supporters to revisit often and keep trying. So if you were trying to give to the VG Hub crew, and you can go, if you go to extra-life.org and search for VG Hub, you will see the crew there. And you can still donate. It's not, you can donate all year round. But if you want to go to any of our guys and do that, if you had trouble yesterday, please do it.
It's bad enough when these idiots target like big organizations and corporate things who make millions. You can understand why they target them. But to target a charity? Why? Just pointless, isn't it? Yeah. Because you were having trouple logging on, dropping a dono to Ken and Greg last night.
Yeah. I mean, I was, when we were playing together around at the same time, it must have taken me, oh, I don't know, it must have taken me 2 hours to get through. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, is this safe? Because you stick your credit card details in and it fails. And anyway, thankfully, people did, I know Joshua's crew, they actually set up they got so frustrated, they set up a Just Giving page for a personal account.
Yeah, that's why
they got people to donate to there, and then it's gone back in. So yeah, horrible. Okay. Yeah. So the positive side of Extra Life in the 24 hours, the fun that was had.
Yeah.
Because it is a fun thing. I know it's hard. I know it's crazy to say, oh, we're playing video games for 24 hours. How could that be hard? Let me tell you, at 5 o'clock in the morning, when you've got 3 hours still to go, it's friggin' hard.
Yeah,
it really is.
I hit the wall at 4 a.m. when I had 4 hours to go. I just all of a sudden just hit a wall, and I had to take a short break. I had to go down. I had to make a really strong coffee. I had a bit of toast, and I came round a bit then. But the last few hours were so hard. But I was texting Greg earlier after I woke up, and we were just saying, of all the Extra Lives we've had, this one was one of the best for the time to go quickly, because I started at the same time as Kim. Kim started really early in the morning. I started at 8 a.m. So Kim, I think she was something like 4 a.m. So we got on at the same time. And then Greg joined us at 12 o'clock his time. So he was about 4 hours after us. And we were in a party chat all the 24 hours together. We played online game. All I did was online gaming all the time. I didn't play any single player stuff. We were just playing together all the time. We had such good fun. It just went so quick and made it so much easier.
I was very busy yesterday.
Judith decided to have not
just one party, but two. We got one set of friends in to have a big, massive children's party. And then about 4 o'clock, they all left. And then my in-laws and the cousins and nephews and nieces all arrived for dinner. Judith, when she does it, she goes, it's 110%. So afterwards, I came out and I played with you for a couple of hours. Yeah. And I came out this morning and played for an hour or so with Greg this morning. And he sounded all right, actually.
He was
saying the same thing. You know, it was one of the easier ones.
Yeah.
Even though there were moments of toughness.
Yeah, Kim hit the wall the same time as me, and she went really, like, I go quiet when I'm tired, but she went really quiet. And when she did speak, she was it's like she'd been drinking, her voice was slurred, and she really struggled. But she was saying this is the first time she's done the full 24-hour stint properly, because before she's had to sort of like give up a little bit earlier. She's not used to it. So
fitness and getting herself in shape and body and mind. The DP is fantastic.
Yeah, so jeez, hats off to Kim. She did amazing. Yep. It was brilliant.
DP is awesome.
Yeah.
DP. Say more. So, what did you play? I know I played one thing. So yeah. What were you guys at? You were PUBG, I'm sure.
I started off with Breakpoint. So I started off actually solo on Breakpoint. And then when Greg popped on, he joined my game. So we did a few missions on Breakpoint.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I remember. Yeah. Sorry, I tuned into his Xbox Live when I was in the car.
Yeah, that's right.
And it sounded, I wasn't watching, but it sounded like it was too hard.
But as soon as you go co-op in that, I've not really done co-op in this. So Greg's finally got on Breakpoint with me. And I think the enemy damage increases as the more players you've got on. She can have up to 4 players. And we were dying a lot. We were really struggling. But I was doing one of the harder missions because I'm quite far on in the story. So, and I'm quite high level. So it's sort of like artificially increase Greg's levels to match mine. Mm. So he wasn't used to that sort of like level of difficulty either. And we were dying a lot. And I was doing my usual just diving in, running in and getting killed, and Greg was doing a bit of a nickel, saying, no, you need to hang back when take his time and all that lot. But yeah, it was good fun, it was a good laugh. Really good. And it works seamlessly with drop in, drop out.
Okay, and the other big thing that we played, and I suppose this is what we've been playing as well, everyone, just because this is really what we're at here right now, too, I don't care about order tonight, was the new Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I played it last night, and again this morning. And one of the things that you said, even before we talk about the game itself, but one of the things that happened, and this morning it happened with Greg and I, we were playing with PC players, and the PlayStation players as well in there. And you can see in the lobby, there's a little icon with either an Xbox symbol or a screen for the PC, and then a little symbol for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
And you just managed to get that going. I know you had a bit of problem streaming it.
I only had a problem with my audio for the stream, but that wasn't the game's fault. That was my setup. But I got it working eventually. I'm quite fortunate, really. And I wasn't interested in Call of Duty at all. I've not played one for a few years now.
Yeah, me too.
But my nephew bought it on the PlayStation 4, and I game shared with my nephew. So I got it for nothing on the PlayStation 4. And then last night we were playing Red Dead Online with Kim and his mate, Chris Bronco. I think you've played with him before.
He
dropped in the party and said hello. And he was saying to Greg, oh, you're getting Call of Duty and all this lot. And Greg, being Greg, just caved and bought it there and then, which took hours to download because it's in so many packs. So thanks to Greg buying it on the Xbox, I game share with Greg on the Xbox. I've got it on the Xbox as well now. And I have to say, cross progression is superb, because the bit I played on the I played a bit on the Xbox. A bit on the PlayStation with Sarah, and I got to level 4. And then when I switched, to the Xbox, all my leveling was there, all my unlocks and everything was on the Xbox. So yeah, so that's really neat. So cross play, that was easier than I thought it would be. You can actually search for people, you can use their Activision ID, or it also comes up with your recent players if you've played with them recently. So when I went from PlayStation to Xbox, my recent players were still there. So on the Xbox, I could see Sarah and Kim and everyone, and John Mouse, because he joined us last night. Yeah, he was on till God knows when as well. He was a star, he's good at that game. So I could see them, even though I was on the Xbox, and I could invite them, and voice chat worked. It was just flawless.
Yeah, it's really so impressive. That's the only thing. I mean, and I didn't have to do anything. To be able to share yourself through PC and PlayStation and Xbox, you have to have an Activision account.
Yeah.
Mine just remembered it.
Yeah, mine just did it automatically, because we've been Activision customers.
Whatever we signed up for Activision, it's still tied to my account. So if there was a thing there, if it didn't recognize it the first time you fired it up, I'm sure it would say set up an account.
Yeah.
But it was pretty streamless. Okay, the game itself.
Yes.
When I first started my journey in podcasting, was the end of COD 4 and Modern Warfare 2. And Modern Warfare 2 was probably my favourite game in the series. Played all the Black Ops and bits and pieces. And then I tailed off. I didn't play the Spacey one. I haven't played them for the last 4, maybe 5 years now. But for some reason or another, this here just got me. I loved the way of the stripped back look. I loved the way people were talking. It was more like Modern Warfare 2 or COD 4. It was more realistic or whatever.
Yeah.
I gotta say,
isn't it? Yeah. None of this stupid futuristic robotic shit.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
It feels like Modern Warfare 2 to me. The menus are I think some of them where you upgrade your weapons and the perks and bits and pieces are a bit clunky.
Yeah, I've not got used to them yet. I've not started out to do the unlocks or anything yet. But I'm only low level.
But most of the perks and bits and pieces are quite similar to Modern Warfare 2. Some of them named differently, like when you're no footsteps, it was a ninja, and now it's something slightly different. But it still has that unlock crack. You know, as you upgrade your unlock your weapon, the more you use it, your skill levels and the more unlocks. The claymore is back, which is a cheap kill. I know, I'm sorry, but I just love my claymores. And it has that wonderful instant gratification for a kill and frustration at being killed at doing something stupid. And we had lots of fun this morning on a mode which was 2v2.
Right.
Very small map. You start off with random guns, so it's random gun sort of thing. And that was brilliant fun. Yeah. We played quite a lot of that, really tactical. Great crack. And you're talking about, well, Greg, at the start of each round, and the rounds can be as short as like 10 or 15 seconds. Like, which way do we go? Left, right? And I said, Leroy Jenkins! So, you know, it's great. I can't wait to really play more. I haven't even touched the single player yet. I haven't really done much. So if you haven't played COD for about 4 years or 5 years, I would say this is worth your money now. This is good.
Yeah. So. I've not been interested in Call of Duty, but this has got my interest now. It's actually really good, and that's high praise coming from me, I suppose. We actually played some custom games initially. It was Sarah's idea so me and Kim could get used to the maps. And that was good. We had some bots in there, and the bots they're not stupid. Out the bots are quite good.
I didn't know. I haven't looked at it enough, Mark. Sorry for interrupting you. So you can set up a private match to run around, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
it's all about, because when Modern Warfare 2. I knew those maps inside, outside, west, backwards, every ledge, every crack, every wee corner, every wee campy spot, every, you know, knew it. And that's I'd say that's 60% to of how to be successful there, you know, so.
Yeah, so
luck and skill.
We figured out how to do how we could all get on one team and all the bots on the other team. Then we mixed it up a bit, had two people and four bots against two people and four bots. Then we did a free for all, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah, I like the you can open doors now in this. You can even just open the door if you click the thumbstick, you actually smash the door open. I don't know if you know that. Nope. So you can actually smash the door open as well, so it's quicker, but you make more noise. The footsteps in this, they've made it so now you can really hear when someone's coming, which makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I'm playing with the headphones on, and maybe it's just because I'm in the... My Hello headphones, what are they? I think they're just stereo headphones.
Yeah.
And I can't... It's annoying. So if you're playing this with a decent set of headphones on it, can you tell if the noise is coming from behind or the front or the side? Because I can hear footsteps, I'm guessing, but they just seem to be from I hear footsteps. I can't. Well, I remember my old really, really good headphones, the wireless one with the little thing.
The Turtle Beaches.
Turtle Beaches years ago. They were awesome, and you could tell what direction these were from. So maybe it's just the stereo is just sharing the noise out. So I'm going to think about that, because playing with headphones is a really important part of having that edge, being able to hear people that way. So it's really, really good. So yeah, enjoyed that. That's good. And we'll play more of that.
Definitely.
You dabbled a bit more in Outer Worlds, Mark?
Through the week. That's the only game I've sort of like played through the week. I've just like got this sort of like start of it, but I've not got far in the main missions, but I've been doing a lot of the side missions. It's one of those games where you can get easily sidetracked, and it's a gorgeous looking game. It's very much Fallout-ish, but it's made by Obsidian, who did New Vegas, but it's more set out obviously in outer space. There's a lot of humour in it, really good humour. I know Greg and Pete touched on it last week. So, yeah, really enjoying that. It's got some good storylines. So, yeah, very good.
Excellent. Right, let's get on to some news. We're not having a quiz.
No. News.
News. News. News.
Here is the fucking news.
The long-awaited Death Stranding has been released, or is about to be released to the general public over the next day or so. And the Metacritic scores are in, and they are, what you would say, a very, very mixed bunch indeed. From total utter crap to fanboy 100%. Looking at the review scores on Metacritic, it's again a very, very mixed bunch, and very, very few of what I would consider to be the big publishing houses have it at the top of the pile. A more realistic 60 to 75 seems to be where the big names, the Game Informers, the IGN, America and UK, people like that, even Giant Bomb. They're split completely, where one side thinks, oh, this is awesome, it's fantastic, and blah, 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 and the other side, this is a pile of shit, what the hell is this all about? So it's going to be one of those games. We can't really comment on it because we haven't really played it. We have been exposed to the demos of it at EGX and the other stuff that we've seen around it. I came across a little story about it where Hideo Kojima says, dear God, is saying it's a reaction to Trump and Brexit. So he was interviewed about this by BBC Radio 1 Newsbeat. Okay, big BBC Radio 1 is a big young radio station in the UK. Newsbeat is the upbeat
station,
news. Yeah. So he's saying, you know, the game's goal of connection is now rooted in how disconnected we all are. So he had a lot to say about Death Stranding when he spoke to the BBC. We may be connected through the internet more than ever, but what's happening is that people are attacking each other because we're so connected. He tells Gaming Report Stefan Powell. The connection, according to Kojima, is why Death Stranding seeks to push people to think about connection. So if I'm reading that right, we should communicate less.
Because we're more connected, we're attacking each other more.
Yeah. No, I kind of get it.
You know, well, the more interaction you're going to get, you're going to get more confrontation, aren't you? The less interaction, obviously, the less people are going to have reason to do that sort of stuff.
So he goes on to say it's referencing sort of political issues in both the US and the UK. President Trump right now is building a wall. Build a wall. And then you have Brexit, where the UK is trying to leave. And
trying
there's lots
to
of
leave.
Trying to leave, yeah. And there's lots of walls and people thinking only about themselves and the world. In Death Stranding, Norman Reedus, Sam Porter Bridges, seeks to save the world by delivering packages to remote locations. God damn it, you're right on it, man. Traversing rocky terrain and fending off those attempting to steal his wares. The era today is about individualism. Kojima suggests in the interview, it's clear that Death Stranding is an attempt to reject that. Yes, reject individualism. Embrace socialism. Communism rules. We should be all be the same and not different whatsoever. The man's an enigma, Mark. I could go on, but really.
Do you actually think he knows what he's talking? Do you think he just makes his shit up as he goes along and doesn't realise what he's even saying?
I don't know. He's probably laughing his tits off.
Yeah.
I think he's probably from Yorkshire somewhere. He's got a really strong Yorkshire accent.
He'll be going in the pub, right, that's 100 quid you owe me. I told you I'd fucking fool these idiots. Buy into anything.
Anyway, it is like Brexit. It is like Trump. It's either you either hate it or you love it. So it's going to be one of those things again. And you will never get the two in the middle to meet or discuss it. So there you go. Just have a look at the Metacritic scores and even on the fan scores already.
Yeah.
Which it isn't out to the public yet. So how can they be putting a score in?
They're rating the game 100 out of 100 on a game they haven't played. Yeah. Well done, people.
No, I'm sorry. I know there's some games that over time have had hundreds. You could say the Red Dead Redemptions and a few other, but I would totally side with there is no game which is 100% perfect.
No.
There's just always some wee thing, but the 100, when you get to 100%, there is a bit of a personal passion there. That's okay.
Talking of Red Dead, we played Red Dead Online last night. Me and Greg haven't played that in over a year. Kim's playing a lot of it. That is so much fun now. That was so good. We had a laugh.
With revisit, is it?
Yeah, oh, it was such a laugh, yeah. So we need to get back on that. But yeah, anyway, sorry, carry on.
Too many games. All right, the other big thing that's been happening in last week or so, and doesn't really concern console players just as much, even though we do play some of their games, but it's a scandal, and it's a sort of a negative thing. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but it's about this Blizzard and Hong Kong and the trouble with China and Hong Kong at the moment. And one of the players of Hearthstone, one of the top esports guys, who came out and said he sort of supported the protesters in Hong Kong against the Chinese government. And their Blizzard's marketplace is very, very big part in China, and a lot of their sponsors were Chinese, blah, 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 and they were trying to play the political two-step around this, and they banned the guy from playing in competition.
And they weren't even going to give him his winnings or anything, were they?
Yeah. So at the start of the BlizzCon conference, there were protesters outside their conference. Not many. They reported there was loads of protesters. I think there was 30. Okay. There's like 30 of us at EGX. We couldn't have protested anything apart from the bar closing. Your chap, the president, J. Alan Brack, get up and give a non-apology. Mm. Pretty much just to say that Blizzard, they didn't live up to their high standards, wanted to bring the world together, sorry, and accept accountability, blah, blah, blah. And we will do better going forward. But there was no no real apology type thing there whatsoever. And in fact, just in the last hour or so, just before the show started, PC Gamer has reported, you know, the Blizzard president clarifies the decision to ban the Hearthstone player and the two casters. They're not going to forgive them, or they're not going to let them play.
Right.
And he's saying, no, we're not doing it. You know, it's like this. And when he was pushed for an answer, it was it was really funny the way it was put. So the reporter was saying, you know, they're not allowed to say this stuff on official channels.
Right.
So the reporter goes, so Blizzard's perspective is, of course you want players to express themselves, except for when it's taking place through official channels.
Yeah.
And the guy from Blizzard went, that's right. So to put it in the example, in my work, we use WhatsApp group, and my sales team are in there, and my boss likes to keep everything in this particular WhatsApp group positive, happy. Yeah. We don't complain about that frigging service engineer messed that up, or we messed up there, or this or nothing. So he doesn't want anything negative in there. But on the sidelines, we have a separate little group where we can moan and complain and bitch like mad.
Yeah.
But in the official line, what they're trying to say here is, well, it was official, and they can say what they like, but when they're working for our company or they're within our remit, they have to be professional. It's a bit weak, so... Mm. Yeah, and you know what? Again, political. So good luck, Blizzard, getting your way through that minefield.
I liked the decision that the decision on giving him his prize money, because he did earn it fair and square. So they have given him his prize money now and reduced his suspension. But yeah, they're still not saying that they did anything wrong, are they?
No. Yeah, well, that's a bigger picture that I don't understand all the details. Yeah. But on good Blizzard news, they've announced Diablo 4.
Have you seen the cinematic trailer?
I don't know if you have it, Mark, but it might be worth playing if you have it in the stream.
It's on right
now. Diablo 4 is coming. Blizzard has confirmed that the much anticipated sequel, after years of speculation, I think we've been, anybody that loved Diablo, the last one, like myself, really just loved it. So a new cinematic trailer for the game has showed up a group of treasure hunters fighting against what could be demons or private equity executives. Blizzard says the game takes place many years after the events of Diablo 3 and after millions have been slaughtered by the actions of the high heavens and burning hells alike. In the vacuum of power, a legendary name resurfaces. So it's been launched for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. There'll be classes again. They showed Barbarian, Sorceress, and Druid. And it's coming. It's coming. And since the last one launched with Diablo 3 launched, it was pretty rough on the PC. But they got all that crap ironed out. And I loved it. I played that game. I must have played that round 3 or 4 or 5 times through the whole story. So I'm looking forward to that.
The cinematic trailer is about 9 minutes long, but it's so worth a watch. It is so good. It's like a little mini movie. It's brilliant. And there's also, on the official Diablo YouTube channel, there's actual proper gameplay footage as well. So, and that's looking really, really good. Really smart, good. It's going to be good.
Looking forward to it. Okay, a little bit more Call of Duty stuff. In the first 3 days of its release, it made £465 million pounds. That's about just over $500 million or half a billion dollar. So tearing up the charts, Activision have revealed in its most recent first-person charts is one of the biggest launches ever. In its opening 3 days, Modern Warfare had made more than 465 million, selling more units than any other COD game of this console generation, starting with 2013's Call of Duty Ghosts and making the top-selling new premium game release of 2019. For some reason, Activision has also keen to let you know that Modern Warfare made more than double what Joker made at the box office.
Wow.
Well, gaming is bigger than movies and music put together, they say at the moment.
Yeah.
So, When you look at the
entertainment media now,
when you look at individual consoles, Modern Warfare's efforts are perhaps even more impressive. The game broke the record for the highest launch sales ever on PS4, and this is also the series' best-selling title on PC. There's some caveats to all of this, of course, particularly as consoles reach saturation towards the end of their life cycle and Activision builds its PC portfolio. But those numbers are still incredibly strong for an opening weekend. Yeah. That's a lot of dosh.
Yeah. For 3 days it is, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. So, and, yeah, it's selling. Maybe it's people like me and you and, and the likes of us that have stayed away because it was too much.
And,
you know?
And because COD 4 was so influential in its time, bringing the perk system and all the new stuff, the leveling up and everything, it was ahead of its time back when it came out. All of us have been harking back to that, and like you say, after all this like Black Ops and all this Advanced Warfare stuff, to go back to Modern Warfare, it's just a lot of nostalgia, and like you say, a lot of people who haven't been on the game for a while, mainly me, just want to go back into it now. So yeah,
and it's funny, I know nothing apart from that. There's a few of the old characters in the main story.
Yeah,
I have no idea what the main story is about, and that's usually the first thing that I do. But on this occasion, I went straight to the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So, and that's us raving about it, even as if the story is just throwaway.
Yeah. Sarah was saying there's some co-op missions as well you can do in the Spec Ops. Mm-hmm. So we've got some of them to organise. So yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
And well, it doesn't matter what system you're on now, we can all play together.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah.
The way it should be. Okay. So speaking of Sony and the volumes, I just thought this was interesting enough. So Sony has now shipped 102 million PS4s.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 5 may be just around the corner, but the PS4 continues its impressive run. As of September the 30th, Sony shipped 102.8 million PS4s, surpassing even the Nintendo Wii at this point of the life. Sony announced the news in the most recent financial statements, revealing that 2.8 million PlayStation 4s were moved in the last quarter.
Wow.
Okay, now, remember, those are sell-in numbers, not sell-through, so moved is not the same as selling.
No, they're shipped items, so a lot of them could be in, like, stock rooms.
Yeah, and quite a lot, if you look at the figures. Yeah. So the PS4 lifetime sales, as of December 2018, so there's a guts of a year there, were 91.6 million, so there's a disparity there of, what, 10 million or so?
Yeah.
That are lying in stock rooms or the disparity in the year. So, but there's at least, say, let's be generous here, there's at least 5 million lying around shops on warehouses not sold. But still, the guts of 100 million consoles.
Mm. Yeah.
So, as previously reported, the PlayStation 4 has reached the magic 100 million mark faster than the Wii and the PS2. However, it still has a way to go to reach the PS2 lifetime numbers. So well done, PlayStation. I have no idea how many Xbox have moved. Is it? It's not half. It's 60 or 70 is longer there, isn't it?
I don't know. People saying Microsoft are in trouble, but I think Microsoft they're doing well. They're doing okay.
They're not. Yeah. It's not this Xbox. No. See the PCs you're all using to listen to this on right now?
Yeah.
See that Microsoft software that's on it?
Like, Sony have put a lot of eggs in the one basket with the PlayStation because they've cut down on the TV manufacturing and a lot of other stuff, whereas, like you say, Microsoft has such a huge portfolio. So Xbox is just one tiny bit of Microsoft. So, yeah.
No, gaming, as we say, it's now bigger than movies and music put together.
Yeah.
But I think Microsoft could survive without Xbox altogether.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, just look how many people use Microsoft Office and how many people have a 365 subscription. I'm one of them. And how many corporations and companies use Office on a daily basis.
have licenses for those, for the operating systems. Yeah. So, don't go there. Okay, would you like to rattle through the new releases, Mark? Have you can see them there?
Yeah. So the new releases for November 4th to November the 8th. It's quite a few as well this week. Just Dance 2020, Robin's favourite game. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, Wii, and Stadia.
Mm.
So you can dance away on your Stadia, on your streaming service. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020. Not much of a cash-in, I'm sure. That's on the Switch, November 5th. Planet Zoo on PC, November 5th. Red Dead Redemption 2 for the PC. Richard Webster is wetting himself. November
wow,
the 5th. 60 frames a second. 4K visuals. It looks gorgeous. Garfield Kart Furious Racing on PlayStation 4. Xbox One, Switch and PC.
Seriously?
November 7th. The one all the PlayStation fanboys are waiting for. Death Stranding. DHL Express Deliveries. PlayStation 4. November the 8th. Disney Sum Festival on the Switch, November 8th. Jumanji, the video game.
Is that
to coincide with a new movie?
I don't know.
That's coming on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch and PC on November the 8th. Another new Jumanji movie is coming out soon, isn't it?
Have you seen that?
Yeah. Jack Black and The Rock. Leighton's Mystery Journal, Catriel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy, Deluxe Edition on the Switch, November the 8th. God, are they still making these? Need for Speed Heat.
What the hell's that?
A new Need for Speed game. I've still got two Need for Speeds on my hard drive. I've not even touched them. Payback and another one. Anyway, that's on PlayStation 4, Xbox One and PC, November the 8th. And Super Lucky's Tale, which is a great game. That's coming to the Switch, November the 8th. Yeah. So
unfortunately, I think the closest I'm going to get to Death Stranding is when I was doing some ironing while the Formula One was on. Yeah. Well done, Lewis Hamilton. You're now this world champion again.
Has he won for the sixth time?
Yeah. And I was ironing Joshua's Death Stranding T-shirt that he got. That's the closest I'm going to get to it.
Yeah. Gary had one of them. Yeah. Gary got
those. Your releases, Red Dead Redemption 2, it'll be interesting to see what mods appear with that and how crazy that's going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, that should be good fun. Okay, victory achieved. It's our quarterly competition where you win real money to buy games. What you do is you finish your game, you take a photograph of yourself with the credits and rolling in the background, and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved. The next contest is running, which is running right now. It runs from the 1st of October to the end of the year, December 31st. We put the names in the hat and we put out a name. And like Sarah, RCGC, Dave3Omatic, or Scott Stubby, you could be a winner like they were this year already. Games, and I'm on catch up here because of EGX and a few other bits and pieces. Kim, she really did finish Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
John Mouse, he finished Enemy Front. He's old school, man. So cool, the games he plays. I believe these are all 360 games.
Right.
Enemy Front, he said it was fantastic. The Club, which was a great game back in the day. And Inversion. So he completed those three this week. Caliburn M finished Batman Arkham Knight, and he thought it was the worst one of the lot.
I didn't mind it.
Hardly Dan, he finished The Outer Worlds.
Has he finished that already? Wow.
Yeah.
How long a game is it, did he say?
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'll ask him.
And Mr. Miyagi finished SWTOR. It's Knights of the Old Republic. It's an expansion called Knights of the Eternal Throne.
Right.
So, well done, you guys. And for that, you get this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have a victory's achieved.
Ooh, okay. Yes, Stadia comes out on November the 19th. I have one coming here. I don't know if it'll arrive before, after, or on the 19th. I have the Founders package or whatever the hell it's called. I actually don't know what's coming, but I've got something coming. It's going to be interesting.
Mm.
So,
Me and Greg were chatting about this while we was playing Breakpoint, and he was saying that Google have backtracked on a lot of stuff they were initially saying. Like now they're saying that some of his stuff's only available on Google devices now. And they were claiming this and that. I don't know the full details. I can't remember what Greg said now because it was a long time ago. And lack of sleep doesn't help. But Greg will know better. I'm sure when Greg's on next week, he'll go through this. But yeah, it was saying a lot of stuff they initially claimed they can't live up to now. And Greg's a bit worried it's going to be a bit of a disaster, really.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'll do a quick search there. And now there's a speed test thing on it. And I just, right. While you were chatting there, I'd done a speed test. And it says that you're based on your current download speed of 12.74 meg. Wherever God knows what else is going on around the house right now. But that would be, I would get 30 at max. So right. We expect you to be able to play in high definition on Stadia, but right. You might not get 4K.
Right. So okay.
That's what they're saying with that.
1080p, as long as it's
I'm
not,
fine with that.
As long as there's no lag, 1080p is fine. So
yeah, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, so yeah, 19th, that's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there people in the chat? You can have a look there, Mark. I don't know if there is or not. If you want to join in live when we have a full complement of hosts, you can every single week, and you can, there's a live chat thing there on twitch.tv/OC podcast or on Mixer on YouTube. You can chat there and we'll see that live and you can interact with us. We do go out live at 9 o'clock in the UK, 1 p.m. the West Coast, 4 p.m. the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island, and Mr. Miyagi 7 a.m. in Australia. Please leave us a review on iTunes. Join some of our clubs on Steam, on Xbox, on PlayStation. It's all one lovely place. Send us an email at podcast@ocpod.com, like Pilch did last week. And you can tweet us at @OC_podcast. And Facebook is fb.ocpod.com. So that's us. That's pretty much it. We will be back to a full complement next week. Everybody's tired, but they're tired for a good reason. Extra Life raising money for good charities. So, Mark, shout out some people that may or may not be in the chat.
Yeah, so in the Twitch chat, we've had Sarah, RCGC, and Baron Von Glower. Mixer, I'm not sure about. And Restream is again playing Silly Buggers with YouTube. Yesterday on my charity stream, wouldn't connect to YouTube, and it's not connecting today. Don't know why. I've tried reconnecting, don't know how many times. So I don't know if it's YouTube's fault or Restream's fault, but yep, so sorry about that if you want to watch on YouTube. I want to shout out everybody who helped us through the 24 hours, everyone who gamed with us, like Sarah, John Mouse, you, Robin, everyone who sort of like popped in the chat and said hello and give words of encouragement. But I would mainly like to shout out everybody who gave me donations, if that's all right, Robin. So I'll shout out these names. Wendy Durkin, who I work with, she donated. I got one from Anonymous. Kim Woods donated to me. Laura McDonald, who's one of my neighbours. Lewis Raimundo, one of our community guys, who's also doing it. Robin Tate, the legend, gave a very generous donation. Vince O'Connor, I don't even know who that is, but thank you very much. Sarah, who I work with, Leonora, which I think is one of Sherry's friends who uses Martin's House Hospice. Gemma Hall, who I work with. Lisa Clarkson, who I work with. Can you tell I've spammed my charity thing on the Works WhatsApp group?
Good stuff.
Matt Nation, who we met at EGX, Empower 343, great guy, he gave a donation. Greg DeLacy, the DeLacy family, and my mum, Barbara Wright, she gave a donation too. So thank you very much to everyone who donated. I hit my target, and I had a target of £200. I've just squeezed in £201.48. Thank you very, very much. How about you, Robin?
Yeah, just to you guys, you heroes, you legends. It didn't work out for me. For this year, that's 2 years in a row I've missed now, but I'm just so, I know what it takes to do it,
yeah.
And well done you guys, it's fantastic. It's thousands of pounds we've raised in our little group for charities. That's fantastic for playing games. Again, I always get blown away the generosity of people. To the people that have done Extra Life last night, Mark, don't be staying up too late, try to get to bed.
No, yeah, I'm not staying up late tonight. No.
Guys, get plenty of rest, and we'll see you out there through the week. Thank you very, very much for listening to your show. My name is Robin Tate. It's at Bongo the Sane. This is at Mark Annex. Thank you for listening to the OC podcast, and have a safe and great and wonderful gaming week. Goodbye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.